WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Happy Monday to you. Welcome into a new week here on the program. And I was tempted almost to start with Brian's Freedom Fools intro with Aerosmith's Back in the Saddle. But yeah, I'm back. Thanks to Brian for filling in for me for a couple of days there. I'm sure some folks are wondering what happened. I posted to social media because I knew I was in the hospital Thursday morning. And I knew that people would start sending messages and Facebooking and all that and asking what was going on. So I figured I would just put a post up because I was in the hospital. So I woke up, I went to bed about 11 o'clock on Wednesday night. I forget why I stayed up so late. I think I probably dozed off in the chair and then got up and went to bed. But I went to bed about 11 o'clock and at 12:30 a.m. just woke up with this really bad chest pain. And generally, I'm sure I've mentioned this many times before. I sleep with a CPAP machine. And so that thing's pumping air down my throat all night long. And sometimes, you know, you get a little gas buildup. And usually if that happens, you get up and you burp, you let some of that air out, and then the pressure goes away. I mean, that's every morning. As soon as I take that mask off, I'd, you know, let out a big one. So I just assumed that's what it was. Got up, went to use the bathroom since I was up anyway, and tried doing that, and it wasn't happening. It was only feeling worse. So I said, all right. The last thing I want to do at 12:30 in the morning is go to the hospital when I got to be at work at 6 a.m. the next day, but I'll go because this doesn't feel right. And, you know, being a formerly much more obese guy, still not in the best shape in the world, I said, maybe it's a better idea to go and just be sure. So I went into the hospital. I went to St. Luke's. Spoiler alert, I live in New Bedford. I have for 3 years. So I drove over there. I was chastised at one point for, don't drive yourself if you think you might be having a heart attack. I was like, yeah, that's a good point. But I walked into the emergency room, told them what was going on. They, within 5 minutes, brought me in to check all my vital signs and get some blood work going, and they eventually sent me back out into the waiting room. And when they sent me back out into the waiting room, that's when I was like, okay, I don't think I'm having a heart attack, or else they wouldn't send me back out into the waiting room. So that's probably a good sign in terms of, you know, I'm not going to die here. And then after about an hour or so, they brought me into, they had a room ready for me, and they brought me in there and tried some different tests to see what was going on. And I was in that ER room from about 3 o'clock in the morning until, I don't think it was like, I don't even remember. 10:30 in the morning, maybe 11:30 in the morning. So I was there for quite a while. Actually, I think it was later than that. It was afternoon. Yeah, it was like 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 3:15. 3:15, they brought me down for an ultrasound. And the ultrasound came back with, I had some gallstones. And that's what one of the doctors that came in and talked to me thought that it might be. But there was no, like, inflammation. So then, you know, they had decided already they were going to admit me because when I was having the chest pains and they were prolonged, they lasted a couple of hours. But when they gave me a nitroglycerin pill, that lessened the pain. So they said that it might be cardiac then, so they wanted to admit me. Had me on a heart monitor. Had me constantly getting my vitals checked. And then Friday morning, they had me undergo an EKG, an echocardiogram, and a stress test. Which was funny because just a couple weeks before, I had gone to see my nephrologist. And he said to me, you know, you might want to consider getting a stress test done. He's like, we're both the same age. I just had one done. He's like, and it gave me at least peace of mind to know that everything was good with my heart. Maybe you should get one done. And it was, you know, just more of a conversation of about the age that we're at more than it was about the, you know, there was no warning signs or anything. And just the day before all of this went down, I had been to my regular doctor, my primary care doctor for a checkup for, you know, I go every 6 months because of the diabetes. And I was excited because I had a 5.1 A1C again. So that's, you know, 6 months ago, it was a 5. So I was like, yes, I'm right where I need to be, doing great. Had blood work done. Numbers all came back good for the things that I knew would come back good, you know, should come back good. Obviously, my kidney functions are going to be elevated because I only have one now. So all the cardiac numbers were good, as they've always been. Even when I was almost 300 pounds, my cardiac numbers were always good. So I wasn't expecting there to be anything heart-related going on. I mean, even though the numbers say they're good, I always just assume that I must have some issues coming my way down the road because of all the years that I was so unhealthy. And so when they gave me the stress test, the EKG, the echocard, everything came back as good. And in fact, the stress test showed no blockages, no real buildup. So when I got back to my room after the stress test, and I didn't even do like the sit on the chair and they give you the injection stress test. I did the get up on the treadmill, and because they said if you do it that way, it's you get out of here faster. You can go back to your room, and I wanted to have lunch. They didn't let me eat beforehand, so I was like, I'm kind of starving, so yeah, let's make this as short as possible. And the physical component of it wasn't that much, except for the fact that you're doing it in grippy socks. But by the time I went back to my room, had my lunch, and then I took a nap, got woken up maybe half an hour later by the doctor, who said, yeah, everything looked good on your stress test. Everything looked good on your EKG, your echocardiogram. Everything was good. You want to go home? I was like, yeah, but I also kind of want to know like what it was that caused those chest pains. So they have me scheduling a follow-up with my primary care to dive more into that. But I don't know. I have elevated liver function, which, you know, is a little concerning. The doctor did say, if you don't get yourself in better shape with that, you've probably got about 20 years left on that liver. And I was like, well, that doesn't sound good because I plan on being around longer than that. So I'm going to need that. Going to have to lessen my trips to Stevie's, I guess. By the way, I don't really drink that much. I don't want anybody to get the idea that, like, because I talk about Stevie's and endorse them here on the radio, that, like, I'm out drinking every night. I have like one a week and I don't even finish the little shot that I pour. I usually end up pouring it back into the bottle. And in fact, he said that. He's like, yeah, he goes, it doesn't look like you are a heavy drinker at all. This is all diet related when it comes to my liver. And then we'll follow up on the gallstones, but because they're there, but the gallbladder is not infected, it wasn't like we got to take this thing out right away. So maybe at some point down the line, I'll have to be out for a couple of days to have my gallbladder removed. From everything I understand, it's a pretty simple surgery now. I'll try and have it done on a Friday so I can be back on Monday, that kind of thing. But that's where we're at. So I did try to get a lot of rest over the weekend. Stayed home Saturday, didn't do anything. I was going to head over to the Stevie's cocktail party, figuring I can't really have anything if I'm having elevated liver function, but I can at least, you know, say hi to people and be part of the festivities. But I was like, yeah, I'm just too tired. And then the zombie prom was supposed to be Saturday night. I said, yeah, I'm definitely not going to that. So I just stayed home, relaxed. And then yesterday I had to get up and do some errands. Went and picked up my laundry from Dash and had to pick up a couple of things at the store. But now my plan is to just kind of take it easy here a little bit. So I'm going to try to stop being here for 12 hours a day, 13 hours a day, 14 hours a day sometimes. And I'm going to start working some relaxation time into my day. Because although I don't think of myself as a stressed out or anxious person, that could be part of what this was. It's funny because one of the nurses mentioned to me, because I said, you know, I was awoken from a sleep with this chest pain. And one of the nurses said, well, what were you dreaming about when you woke up? It's like, I don't know, but I don't think it was that. So I don't really have answers as to what happened. I just know more what it's not than what it was. And it wasn't anything cardiac. And that's the important part. So I guess, you know, I could have just scheduled the stress test and gone about this the easy way. But instead, I had to be admitted to the hospital to do it. So, but that's a good sign. I guess it all starts from there. Everything else is fixable. So just got to better focus on that. So perhaps, you know, maybe it's time to change my diet again. I was out shopping in Dartmouth yesterday after picking up my laundry at Dash, and I said, well, I'm not going to go home and make anything at this point, so I'll get something to eat somewhere. And I said, I'm going to go to Texas Roadhouse and get grilled chicken breast. So maybe less red meat in my diet, more chicken and fish. I can get some more celebrity pork chops in the butcher shop. And I can focus on the next phase of this getting healthier. But the important thing here is don't ignore pain like that. And everybody said that to me. They're like, well, you know, it's a good thing that you came in either way. You know, a lot of people would have tried to go back to sleep and see if it was still there in the morning. And chances are, if I had gone back to sleep, I would have woken up and it would have been gone. But then I would have had lingering questions about, am I going to have a heart attack? Wow, that guy was just flying down Schaconic Road. And I've learned that it's better to be safe than sorry. Now, being safe might cost you some money and hospital visit copays or urgent care copays or whatever. But I just go back to the fact that if I hadn't gone to the hospital in September of 2023 with kidney stones, well, with back pain that I thought was just sciatica, but it turned out to be kidney stones, who knows when they would have found my kidney cancer. So better to be safe than sorry. And I'm always the kind of person that doesn't want to look like I'm overreacting to something. And I talked about that with one of the doctors. I even said, like, gee, I feel now like I came here and kind of wasted everybody's time if it wasn't something heart-related. And the doctor looked at me and said, if we thought you were wasting our time, we would have sent you home. We don't need to keep you here. We've got plenty of people. People are waiting for beds. People were in the hallway waiting for a room in the emergency room. It's not like we need to keep you here to make money off you. We kept you here because there was concern. They let you go because those concerns are abated. I got a message here from Sharon in app chat. She says, hi, I had the same symptoms a couple of years ago when it was a gallbladder attack. Had it removed and I am fine now. And, you know, that's the thing is even though the gallbladder wasn't showing any signs of infection, it was pointed out to me that, you know, the pain has subsided and therefore any inflammation would have subsided. So that's why they want me to go back and do some more blood work and get some more tests done to see, you know, when I'm not in the hours after this pain, what the numbers look like. So it'll be a little bit of follow-up work and it might result in me having to have my gallbladder out. But I'm certainly less afraid of having an organ removed after having a kidney removed. So that's probably one of the only times that I've been preventative about something, or at least, you know, I didn't have to get to the point where I could barely move before I went to the doctor, to the hospital. So lesson learned. Better to be safe than sorry. All right, I got to take a break here. 508-996-0500. We will be back in a few moments. All right, we got to go into the news with Phil, but before I do that, let me take a quick call. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hey, good morning, Tim. Thank you for taking my call, and it is really, really nice to hear your voice on the radio again. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, Tim, I tell you what, man, if I was you, think about going on a strict organic diet. Try that for 30 days, Tim. And I'm going to tell you what, you're going to feel like a miraculous recovery. I wanted to get you before Mary got you. But, Tim, I'm telling you, our body is taking in toxins and poisons, and it's sending our livers into overload.
Yeah, I mean, I think definitely I'm not doing myself any favors with some of the things that I eat.
No, I'm telling you, Tim, if you put your mind to it and say, okay, the next 30 days, before you do anything crazy medically speaking, give your body 30 days to do its proper job without no toxins, you're going to go back to the doctor and he's going to be like, oh, wow. Tim, I'm telling you, go with that organic diet. Be strict, strict, strict with yourself. Give it 30 days. And see what happens. Remember, Tim, every bit of toxins we take in, whether it's prescribed medication or the salad dressings that's on the door of the refrigerator, these toxins keep that liver working, working, working. And it sounds like to me, for a young guy, your liver's been doing a lot of work. And alcohol, oh, forget about it. Not with the problem that you have. Your body, Tim, is speaking to you loud and clear. Loud and clear. And again, it's just really good to hear you out there and try that, Tim. Really, I would try that, please.
All right.
All right, man. Have a great day. Thank you for my call.
You as well. Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right. We are going to go now into the newsroom and get all the top stories of the day from Phil Devitt.
Pope Francis still in critical condition. Federal workers on deadline to justify their existence. And another superhero weekend at the box office.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Pope Francis remains in critical condition with blood tests showing mild signs of kidney failure. The 88-year-old pontiff is being treated for double pneumonia and is receiving oxygen therapy. The Vatican added that Pope Francis continues to be vigilant and well-oriented. He took part in the Holy Mass from his apartment on the 10th floor of Gemelli Hospital on Sunday morning. It's the third time in his 12-year papacy that he has not delivered the prayer. Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky says he's ready to step down if it brings peace to his country. The Ukrainian president made the offer at a news conference on Sunday, saying, quote, "If it is peace for Ukraine and you really want me to leave my post, I'm ready." Zelensky also said he would willingly trade his position for immediate NATO membership. Meanwhile, the White House said a peace deal in Ukraine could happen as soon as this week. A former Army chief of staff says President Trump's firing of the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff is tremendously destabilizing to the U.S. military. Appearing on ABC's This Week, retired General George Casey warned of the danger of sudden senior personnel changes.
When you remove so many senior leaders, especially without justifying and giving due cause, it creates huge uncertainty in the ranks.
Casey said military leaders should not be punished for following orders given by a previous presidential administration. General Charles Brown Jr. was fired Friday night in a move critics say was an effort by Trump to get rid of diversity initiatives in the U.S. military. Elon Musk is giving federal workers a deadline of midnight to justify their work or they'll be fired. In a social media post on Saturday, Musk said federal employees will receive an email requesting information about what they worked on in the last 7 days, and any failure to respond will be taken as a resignation. The move comes after President Trump said he'd like to see Musk be more aggressive in his efforts to slash the federal workforce. New York Governor Kathy Hochul is defending her decision not to remove New York City Mayor Eric Adams. Hochul told CBS's Face the Nation that despite outrage over the Justice Department ordering the dismissal of Adams' corruption charges, she doesn't want to undermine a Democratic election.
But I will always stand on the fact that we are a nation of laws, and one individual, the governor of New York, should not use her voice and her will to override the will of the voters.
Instead of using her power to remove a sitting mayor, Hochul says she'd rather allow this year's mayoral election to play out. The notorious B.I.G.'s mother is dead at the age of 78. Aletta Wallace was in hospice care and died of natural causes in Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania. Wallace was mentioned in several of her son's songs. She raised him as a single mom while working as a preschool teacher. After Biggie's death in 1997, she kept his legacy alive and maintained his estate. And Captain America Brave New World remains on top of the weekend box office. The Marvel and Disney film earned an estimated $28 million as of Sunday. Meanwhile, Neon's horror comedy The Monkey took in an estimated $14 million in its opening weekend. The film looks to finish second after pulling in over $5 million across Friday and preview screenings.
WBSM Sports.
Boston Celtics in Toronto to play the Raptors on Tuesday, and the Bruins home at TD Garden to play the Toronto Maple Leafs on Tuesday.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Partly sunny with a high of 43 degrees today on the South Coast. Mostly cloudy on Tuesday with a chance of a shower, a high of 48. And on Wednesday, partly to mostly cloudy, a high of 47. This WBSM news update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM. And get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Palace Hotel Ballroom at this time. We do sincerely hope you all enjoy the show, and please remember someone to love.
Someone to love.
Sweetheart to miss.
Sweetheart to miss.
Sugar to kiss.
Sugar to kiss.
Welcome back in. 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemails, both open on the WBSM app. Later on in the program, in the 8 o'clock hour, we'll be joined by New Bedford City Council President Shane Burgo for our weekly discussion with the council president. We'll talk about the announcement of Chief Paul Oliveira's retirement. We'll get his thoughts on what he would like to see in the next police chief. I've got the story up at WBSM.com. And on the app, sorry, I'm a few days late with it. But Mayor Mitchell with Chris last week said that they're going to cast a wide net. That this time around, there is going to be a nationwide search. They're not restricting the search at all. And although there are some internal candidates, they're going to be looking externally as well. There's going to be a screening committee of sorts that will be set up to make a recommendation, but ultimately it'll be Mayor Mitchell who makes the selection, and then the city council has to confirm that selection. And as Mayor Mitchell pointed out with Chris, you know, last time this happened, they didn't have the need for a search because they had a clear number two already in Paul Oliveira behind Joseph Cordero in the role of deputy chief, and it was somebody that Mayor Mitchell felt like was ready to step into that role. But what he talked about with Chris was the need to have someone who is ready to be the leader of the department. And it didn't sound to me, and maybe I'm just reading too much into this, but it didn't sound to me like he felt strongly about the assistant deputy chiefs. Now, when Joe Cordero was selected, he was a captain. So something showed Mayor Mitchell that he was ready to lead. Others might disagree because, as we know, he got votes of no confidence from the union, as they are prone to do, in the chief of police, as Chief Oliveira got as well, but it's more a political tactic than it is a sign of dysfunction within the department. But whatever happened with Cordero's retirement, you know, if you remember, we were right around the time of the officer's home who had been shot at, and still never really got a lot of answers on that, did we? Let's just say it was a time of controversy. So I think, especially at that point in time, you know, picking someone from within was a smart move, but maybe now it does make sense to expand the net. But I think if you're looking at the assistant deputy chiefs, I think either one of them would do a great job. But at least, you know, I think before, Mayor Mitchell already knew, like, if I do a search, I'm just going to come back to Paul Oliveira again. So why waste people's time and money and all of that? And maybe he doesn't have that clear-cut feeling this time around, so he wants to see what the options are out there. But I'll be interested in hearing Council President Burgo give his thoughts on what he would like to see in the new chief, because the rhetoric out there is that, you know, he's Mr. Defund the Police, and that's not the case at all. He's been a supporter in his words and his votes of the New Bedford Police Department. But that doesn't mean that he doesn't have issues with some of the policing that was done. And it's okay. It's okay to have questions. It's okay to have concerns and still be supportive of the police department. I just hope that this doesn't turn into some kind of, you know, power struggle between the mayor and the council in trying to approve whoever it is that he selects. Mainly more than anything, you don't have a lot of time. Although Mayor Mitchell told Chris he's not going to be following any kind of deadline on this. That just because Chief Oliveira is retiring at the beginning of May does not mean he's looking at that as I've got to select somebody by then. And as he said, it's not going to be the last man or woman standing. But that he also doesn't want to have somebody in an acting role too long either, because he feels like that's also unfair. And if you remember, Chief Oliveira was only in an acting role for a couple of months from the time that Chief Cordero retired and the time that he assumed the helm. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
So you made it out of the hospital in one piece.
I did.
Isn't that nice, huh? I'm not going to yell at you today. I'm going to give you a break. But,
well,
you know, you have to
that.
Understand. Yeah. I grew up more on the Italian side of my family, my mother's side. So Italians, we yell a lot. That means love. So you have to understand that. When I'm yelling, it's because I love you. You should be fortunate. You need to realize it. It means something.
Mary, I come from a family, my mom's side of the family. Not one of them has ever spoken in anything less than a yell. So I'm used to it.
That's wonderful.
It's the language of the Williams side of my family.
That's wonderful. I'm glad you came back, because tomorrow you might be in trouble. But today, now, when you were on that treadmill, did they have you running at a good clip of what, 50 miles an hour or what?
So they started off, I don't even know what the speeds were, but they started off at a kind of a flat level and a decent speed, and then they move it to an incline. So it's more about the incline than it is the speed for the stress test, I guess.
Yeah. I always do that, too. No nuclear medicine for me. No drug for me. You know that already. But I don't have no trouble with the treadmill because of all the walking that I do. It's like, that's an easy thing for me. And thank God. Although at my age, the only problem I have is my right knee now. But not nowhere near the point where I need any knee surgery or anything like that. So I'm fortunate with that. And I attribute that to all the walking I have done for so many years. I mean, if I can't walk, I'm pretty much done. That's my whole thing, is the walking. So what I say to you is, I see the things you read. I know. The thing is, all a person really has to do is stay away, you know, from the sugars and starches. Those are the main problems. That's why I don't eat bread. I don't eat potatoes. And after a while, you don't miss it. You don't miss it at all. You start feeling better, like you have energy. Yesterday, I had my pork chops again. When I'm done eating that, I feel like I could lift up a freaking elephant, you know, or at least a baby one. It gives me power. I'm not going to go back to the potatoes and the bread. And I have to admit, my downfall is the chocolate here and there, but not enough where it's killing me anymore. I used to eat it a lot, skip meals just to eat the chocolate. I don't do that no more. But so you made it out of the hospital. That's wonderful. St. Luke's isn't my choice for hospitals, but when it's an emergency like that, I would have to go there.
Well,
St. Anne's is wonderful, I think.
They took great care of me, you know, both times I was there related to my kidneys, and this time they did as well. I mean, also, like, those people that work there, they deserve a lot of credit, because I sat in that emergency room for hours, and I listened to the people that were out in the hallway and the stuff that people were saying to them, and, like, they don't deserve to have to put up with all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, what kind of food I know the time is running here. What did you eat over there? How many meals did you get? You were there long enough to have, what, a few meals, right?
Yeah, a couple of meals. So the morning I was in the emergency room, they brought me some home fries and a piece of quiche and grapes and blueberries. And that was good. And then because I ate that, and then they asked for the ultrasound after that, they made me wait 6 hours before I could have the ultrasound.
Yeah.
So that's why I was stuck there.
Mm.
And then... for dinner that night, they brought me a chicken parm with penne and some turkey rice soup. And that was amazing. So good. And then because they'd already ordered dinner and they were So then for lunch the next day, I had some turkey bolognese. I don't know why they were giving me so much pasta, but they had me on the low-carb diet, so they were giving me the right amount. And then I think it's because they knew I hadn't eaten for hours, so they wanted to give me something that would fill me up. And then they gave me dinner before I left, even though I was already checking out, but because they'd already ordered it and it was already coming up, they're like, you might as well stay and have dinner. And that was some delicious baked cod with mashed sweet potatoes and mixed vegetables.
Well, they didn't stab you to death anyway.
No, the food was great. And the food has been great every time I've stayed there.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt. But, I mean, when my mother was in the hospital, they kind of did overdo it with the starches, the rice, the potatoes, the bread. And I got into the nurse with that at one point. She goes, no, this is what we feed everybody. She'll be okay. They still don't understand the whole story about the carbohydrates and the starches. They give you beans. They say very healthy for you, very healthy. But for people who have any kind of a sugar problem at all, that sends your sugar through the roof if you're going to eat beans. And people just need to realize that. That's all. You know? They gave you pasta, but you said they didn't overload you, so that's okay.
No, it was like maybe like a spoonful of pasta. But
did they ever come in and check your glucose while you were there?
Constantly.
Oh, yes. Well, that's good.
Yeah, I was. I think the highest I was a 97.
That's wonderful. Keep that going. Try to do more walking too. Was that the most walking you ever did, is getting on that treadmill?
No. I didn't walk as much in the wintertime, but I was doing a mile every day until it got really cold.
They have these little treadmill sets where you can bring it to work and you can be on it for like 30 minutes and then push it aside and sit down again, because you're sitting there for the whole 3 hours you're there, right?
Well, for the 3 hours of the show, yeah, but the rest of the time I'm up and moving around. I was actually thinking today would be a great day to go hit the bike path again and start walking that again.
Oh, that's wonderful. Watch out for the coyotes.
Well, by daytime they'll be bored. Although once the rabbits come out, then they might be around a little bit more.
Well, thanks for taking my call. I'm glad you're back all in one piece. They didn't have to remove anything and you're doing okay. But that chest pain, it could have been that machine, that breathing thing there. I don't know. But yeah, it's never happened before. I don't know. Well, you've been using that machine a long time.
So I did just get new equipment. So I have a new mask and everything and a new headgear. Mm. So I mentioned that. I was like, maybe I had, like, this was too tight or something. And they're like, no, because I already had it going a couple of nights. So, like, if that was the case, you know, you would have had negative effects the first night, not night three. So
I'm surprised you still need it with all the weight loss. Usually weight loss is the main reason, but have you tried going without that thing?
So, yeah, sometimes I take naps without it, and sometimes I wake up early in the morning and take it off and go back to bed. But I talked to the sleep doctor, and he said that what we'll probably do is, before, because next fall I'll be due for a new machine, and he said what we'll do is we'll do a sleep study then to see if I need it.
Well, that's good.
But he can, he monitor, all my numbers get delivered to him automatically from my machine because it's hooked up to my Wi-Fi, and he said it all still indicates that I have apnea.
Are you still on the same dose with the shot? Did they lower it at all? I mean, you lost all your weight.
No, same dose.
Same, the high dose? They should have lowered it, no?
I guess you stay on the high dose. But that's another that's another thing I'll be talking to my doctor about, just to, you know, to make sure everything's okay.
Well, that's wonderful. Well, good luck, and good to hear your voice out here again. So no yelling today.
I will. I'll try not to.
All right. Have a good day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
And 508-996-0500. And one thing I am going to drink a lot less of is coffee, because I realize the whole time I'm here, I'm constantly drinking coffee. So probably 32 to 64 ounces of coffee a day. So maybe I should drink less of that. So I'm going to make my one Miss Lizzie's coffee tumbler full of coffee to get me through the show. And then that's it. No more after that. Just water the rest of the day, which will be better, because switching off between coffee and water throughout the course of the day was always a little weird anyway, as I'm trying to make sure I drink enough water. But that's it. Leave the show. No more coffee. Just water. 508-996-0500. We will be right back. And And we're going to be going to the news in just a moment. When we come back on the other side, more with you, 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemail, both available on the WBSM app. Got a message to let Mary know the German chocolate at Aldi is awesome and that it's nothing like American chocolate. So you can.